Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me, as always, is Chip Janoszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. How are you doing this week, Chip?
Doing great. How about you, Eric?
Doing fantastic.
Beautiful July morning.
It really is. We've had a wild week of weather here between massive storms, a drop in the temperature down to the low 60s, and then back up to the high 80s.
Yeah, we had a record low high last week. Bradley Field, our airport up here, had 3 days in a row where they measured over an inch of rainfall. So the drought that we had last year is gone.
Yes, it is. Yeah, there were some parts that got over 6 inches of rain last week. So, today we're going to be talking about dealing with adversity, speaking of 6 inches of rain. And adversity is something that happens to everybody. At some point, things don't go as planned. Dealing with adversity is about just that. It's how you handle it when it happens. And I remember an old friend of mine always used to say, it's all how you answer it. And it's how you respond. But a lot of it is also being prepared for what could go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a really good article that I took a look at online that I downloaded, and it's entitled The Three Ways Great Leaders Handle Adversity and How to Be at Your Best When Life Is at Its Worst. And it was actually written by a professor from Carnegie Mellon named Randy Pausch, who learned that he had terminal cancer.
Randy Pausch is fantastic. If you haven't read the last lecture or watched the last lecture, I absolutely recommend it.
Yeah, and it's just so apropos to what we're talking about today. I mean, the three things that he talked about in there was, number one, I wonder what this will teach me. And number two is to reinvent your future constantly. And then number three is don't get furious, just get humorously curious. And we've all heard of George Carlin. And it's a very, very funny quote here from George Carlin. Says, some people see the glass as half full. Others see it as half empty. I see a glass that's twice as big as it needs to be.
Yes.
Or Carlin.
I remember that well.
So, and then reinventing your future. He talks about choice, and choice is the enemy of fear. That's a really great quote also.
It is, and that's something to remember. You always have a choice in how you react to adversity. And when I talk about having a choice in how you react, a lot of people go, well, no, it's, you know, it's just how things are. So, no, you choose how you act. And the example I always give is, imagine yourself in a car. You're driving along on a country road, and somebody suddenly pulls out and cuts you off. What's your first response? Well, most people tell me, oh, I get mad, I start yelling, you know. And they'll start yelling at the car in front of them. Now change that a little bit. You're in your car, but you're lost. You're in a bad neighborhood, urban setting, high crime area. And you know that there's a good possibility that anybody around you could be carrying a gun. You're driving along, some guy pulls out and cuts you off. Do you still get angry at them and start swearing at them? Or do you think for a moment and go, wait a minute, if I start yelling at this person, I could get shot? And the fact is, most people do take that moment to think about the consequence when they know it's a possibility. So you do have the opportunity to make that choice in how you deal with adversity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the first tip there is to pause and think, I wonder what this will teach me. And, you know, he uses the example, how did I get here? What caused this to happen? And they choose curiosity over self-pity or anger, just like you were referencing. And again, the key word here is choice. And we seem to be talking about choice every week, but it's just so important, and it is the real world. And then what they do is they generously share their learning experience with other friends. And they just say, I'm going to make the best out of this. It's getting back to the glass half full analogy that we just talked about. So it's pausing a second and making it a learning experience.
All right. Now, it's easier to deal with adversity when you've done at least some prep work. If you're prepared for something, it's always easier to handle. And I'll give you an example. I was talking to Chip about this just before we went on the air. Over this past week, I had my accounting system completely corrupted. The files were no good, couldn't get into them. There was nothing we could do to do it. So I had to recreate those files. Now, this is a fairly big job. However, fortunately, in different systems, I have all of the information. It's just a matter of taking it all and putting it back into the accounting software. So I could go to my bank and download the bank statements. I can go to my files and pull out the invoices. And from all of the different places that I have backup information, I can now reassemble all of the accounting books. Now, if I didn't have all that backup, I'd be up the creek without a paddle. Because as it turns out, the backup for the system was just as corrupted as the main file. So I actually had backups of backups. And fortunately, that allowed me to recover from this situation.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago that we did a segment on preparing for disasters or this or that or whatever. And we talked about having your backup systems there and the what's for the ifs and that kind of thing done. So obviously in a business line of things, there is a lot of work that you can do to prepare for something like that in case it happens. So, yeah, when you told me that this morning, I said, holy cow, I can't believe that happened to you. But you sound like you handled the adversity well, my friend.
Yes. Well, again, fortunately, I had all the backups. And it's one of those things, the one thing, you know, you were just talking about, what will this teach me? The one thing it taught me is that paper does not get corrupted.
This is true.
Because I went back to paper backups and paper information to correct all of the problems.
Yeah. Not that, obviously, that's dealing with online systems and the cloud and so on and so forth. You got to have ways to back that up in case that does happen. But this is the first time I ever heard of something like that. So,
yeah. I don't think it's something that happens all that often, but it does happen. And, it, you know, again, if you talk to any IT person, they'll tell you it's not a matter of if your hard drive is going to fail, it's when. So you need to be, you know, knowing that, you can prepare for what happens. Have backups on different hard drives. If you have really important documents, print them out.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's something that you have to be aware that adversity is inevitable. So what you can do to prepare ahead of time is great. And there is another article that talks about tips for overcoming adversity. And it talks about working on your internal and your external resources. The internal resource is you. It's working on your mindset, work on cultivating emotional strength and courage and discipline and that kind of thing. To make yourself aware that when that difficulties are inevitable, and it's really just the way that you react to things, just like you were talking about in the getting cut off driving incident. So it's preparing yourself that way. And then obviously for your external resources, feel the gratitude. Go to your family and your friends and so on and so forth for encouragement and support. And just understand that, you know, people are there for you. So it's so important to be doing your personal development and really hanging around and talking to as much as you possibly can your friends and family, instead of just emailing back and forth and social mediaing people.
Right. And I think, yeah, I go back to a book I've always loved that's, you know, not a business book, just fiction, but The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And the one lesson this tells, for those of you not familiar with the book, the Earth is actually destroyed, and it follows the two survivors as they go from planet to planet. But The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a book that they have that gives them information about where they're going. And on the cover of the book is printed the words in large letters, "Don't panic." And I think that when you're dealing with adversity, that's probably the best advice you could ever get, is don't panic. Yes, it's not an ideal situation. That's what adversity is. But you can deal with it. You sit down, you take stock of what the situation is, and then start examining your options. And there are always options. I was just watching a show called Suits, and one of the characters said, you know, even when there's a gun to your head, there are always options. It's not simply give in or be shot. So you have to look for those options. And the ability to find and move on those options is what gets you through the adversity.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important, really, in life anyway. We talk about mindfulness and meditation and so on and so forth. It's so important to get off of autopilot, which is just reacting so quickly. If you can take that split second to just assess the situation, it's a big, big step in, number one, putting things in perspective that, yes, there is an out to this, and then figuring out exactly what you're going to do to take care of the situation. So it's so important to pause.
Yes, that pause can be all the difference. It gives you a chance to think through what you're about to do, reconsider what you're about to do. I can't count the number of times that someone has posted something on social media that aggravated me so that without even thinking, I started typing a response, and then I type out the response, and then I read the response, and then I deleted the response and did not post it because I knew nothing good was going to come of it.
Yeah, so human nature.
Right. You need to take that moment and go, okay, what's going to happen if I do this? Oh, okay, well, I'll aggravate a few people, get into an argument, and nothing will be solved. Well, why should I bother doing that and just aggravate myself further? Delete the comment. When adversity hits, you do, okay, what can I do? What's going to happen if I do this? And design a plan to deal with it.
You know, one of the best things you can do to prepare for adversity, too, is to read stories about people who have overcome adversity. And there's a list of people that is really, really people that you are familiar with who have overcome big time. Think about Helen Keller.
Right.
Lost her sight, and due to a mysterious fever and so on and so forth. And yet she became so educated and spoke about and promoted women's rights until the day she died. She's just an amazing example. Winston Churchill. A lot of people don't know that he had a stuttering problem.
Yeah.
And he became the prime minister and one of the heroes of World War II. And then Wilma Rudolph, the Olympian, she was born prematurely, the 20th of 22 children, overcame double pneumonia, scarlet fever, and polio, to become winner of 3 gold medals in the 1960 Rome Olympic Games. So, you know, no matter how bad things are with you sometimes, there's a lot of people that have suffered the same thing and have overcome it. And it's really, really inspiring just to take a look at what their stories are.
Exactly. About, oh, it's probably almost 30 years ago, I had carpal tunnel syndrome in both hands. Very painful. I couldn't even rest my hand on a desk without shooting pains going through my arms. And at the time, 90% of my work is done on a computer. Typing, you know, not having my hands was a big deal. So I was starting to get down about this. I had both of my arms in braces, and it was very frustrating. Well, I went into a bookstore, and I'm just browsing. And as I'm looking around, I come across a copy of A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking, with his photo right on the cover. And I look at what he went through, and everything that he's accomplished, and went, you know, okay, I can deal with this. This is, you know, this is nothing. I'll recover from this. And it changed my whole mindset because I realized, well, wait a minute. Okay, yes, this is what's going on with me, but in the grand scheme of things, this isn't that terrible. And that switch helped me find ways to get through it. I was able to find different braces that gave me a little more mobility to let me do more. And after being in braces for a couple of months, I recovered.
That's an awesome story. I never knew that.
Yep. So, I mean, just seeing the picture of Stephen Hawking was enough to, like, snap me out of it going, all right, if I'm whining over this, take a look at this. You know, don't you feel stupid for, you know, feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, and to take it to another level, if things are down and so on and so forth, one of the best things you can do is get back to a good old gratitude exercise like we talked about before, the positive mindset thing. Develop your victory log or your gratitude journal and just take a look at all the great things that have gone on in your life too, because that'll put things in perspective also. It helps you to shift from, you know, the external sense that the whole world is against you to realizing that, yeah, you're in control. You've done some great things in your life and you can do that again. So it's so important to reflect on your past successes because everybody's had their own past successes too.
Exactly. A perfect example, and this is actually someone that I believe will be having on the podcast in a few months. But one of my business partners, Ray Charpentier, is diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And they told him he wasn't going to be able to walk, all of the problems that go along with MS. Now, this was several years ago that he was diagnosed. This past weekend, he rode in a bike MS event. He rode 60 miles. I know a lot of perfectly healthy people that can't ride 60 miles.
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah, it's like... And this is, I think, the fourth or fifth bike event he's done in just the last 3 months.
Not to mention what he's done for the MS people around the country. I mean, talk a little bit about what the two of you created, just as an awareness tool that people like Ray can do this kind of things. I mean, he used to walk for half a mile in the pool and do all kinds of other things. The bike that he had was made for him specially, and he just goes around and he turns this thing into an opportunity to teach others as far as what's going on. He is just one of the most inspirational people that I've ever met, and I'm sure you too.
Oh, absolutely.
That his idea and the MS Go and all that.
Yes, he came to me a couple of years ago to ask my help in putting together a project called MS Go. And what that was, it's a calendar that connects people with multiple sclerosis to support groups, to educational presentations, to events, anywhere where they can get together and see, hey, I am not alone in this. Well, we started in Connecticut. Within 6 months, we had covered all of New England. Now it's national. We have calendars for all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. And because it had such an effect on the multiple sclerosis community, we've now gone on. This past month, we launched the same thing for cancer. So we now have cancer calendars for all 50 states. And we've got other conditions coming up in the next couple of weeks. So the whole thing was all about you are not alone. Because Ray and I had talked a lot about this. Some of our listeners I know are aware of the fact that I'm legally blind. And when you get a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, of, you know, when you're declared legally blind, the first thing that happens is you feel isolated. So we wanted to put this together to get people to see you're not isolated. Here's all of these places where you can be with other people who are dealing with the same thing that you are. And doctors will tell you all the time how important support groups are. Because talking about what you're going through with people who are going through the same thing, it helps you explore different solutions. It helps you, again, not feel isolated. And that's a big thing with adversity, is that instinct that nobody has ever gone through this, it's just me, and that's simply not true. I found over the past years, there's no situation that I can come up with that I can't find somebody else that has gone through it as well. So sharing experiences and sharing solutions is a great way to overcome adversity. You know, there's power in numbers.
Yeah, and there's power in positivity too. And you are one of the best examples of that I've ever met. I've known you for several years. And actually, when I first met you, you were going through the process and said, I'm going to be declared legally blind within the next year or two. And yet, Everything you do out there is positivity, and your business model and everything you talk about up front has a foundation of that positivity before you even get into the techniques and the how-tos and what you're doing in the first place. And it's the same thing with Ray. Because I remember when he started not feeling good, and it took a little while for him to get diagnosed with that. And once he had that, all of a sudden, you know, I'm thinking, wow, he's going to be in bad shape with this. And now we have this superhuman guy that's just been doing unbelievable things, inspiring everybody that he meets. He's just an amazing guy. So
he certainly is.
It's a privilege to be working with both of you.
Thank you. It's a matter of looking at options. I mean, people often ask me, how I stay positive, how I keep going, all of this. And at the time that I got my diagnosis, my wife was working freelance, but just once in a while. She wasn't working steady. We've got two kids, one of which is now going to college. So the idea of sitting back, taking a disability check that wasn't going to cover expenses simply wasn't an option. So I had to find a way to move forward. And, that little safety net that people say, oh, yes, you can just do that, really wasn't an option, forced me to find other options. I changed my business. I moved a lot more into coaching and consulting. Prior to this, I was doing a lot more design work, which unfortunately, as my eyes deteriorated, I can't do as much anymore. but I found things I could do. And I tell people, I literally changed my business to things I could do with my eyes closed. So once you know, okay, these are the options in front of me, you can move forward on them.
Absolutely. I just recently read a really, really fun book written by a gentleman named Kyle Cease. That's C-E-A-S-E. And he is a stand-up comedian, very, very successful, who turned into a motivational speaker, just talking about life's comedies and this and that, whatever. And the book itself is kind of like a bio of him. And it just starts out with Kyle C saying, okay, I have to write a 60,000-word book. And you say, okay, this is not going to be much, and so on and so forth. What I was reading it because somebody recommended it to me, and I think it's already a bestseller. But then he gets into the theories, and it's just really the way that you look at things, perspective, and so on and so forth. And one of my favorite analogies that he put in there is the analogy of ice cubes in water. And if you look at ice cubes in water, ice cubes eventually are going to melt. No matter how cold you keep the glass and so on and so forth, they eventually are going to melt back into the water, which is their source from which they came from. And he used the analogy of thinking of ice cubes as your fears, your obstacles, your anxieties, things like that. And no matter how hard you fight them, because we get hung up so much on thinking about these things, eventually it's going to melt back into reality, which is the water. And so it's, you know, sometimes it's great to have a little shifter on your mind. But ever since then, every time I'm thinking of something that might be a little bit down and so on and so forth, I've just been saying to myself, ice cube, ice cube, ice cube. But again, it's all about putting things in perspective, that whatever you are facing yourself with, faced with right now, adversity wise, there's going to be an answer for that. And it's going to come and you're going to find it. So again, take that deep breath, put it in perspective, and just go get it.
That's it. You know, there's an old saying, God never gives us more than he believes we can handle. And I've always liked that, because essentially it's saying, no matter what happens, you'll be able to figure it out. You'll be able to handle it. And once you get yourself to the point that you actually believe that, and there is a difference between simply saying it and believing it. You do have to believe that no matter what's going to come down the pipe, you can handle it. When that adversity hits, you go, okay, I'm ready for this. You know, it may not be pleasant going through it, but we're going to get through it. It's very important that you always remember that you can do amazing things when you put your mind to it. Adversity is your chance to prove it. You can show the world exactly what you're made out of when you push through these problems.
And as you do, it becomes easier to push through more problems in your life. Once you start succeeding at these things and making it a habit of just overcoming these things through your life, keeping that positive attitude towards things, you can handle anything coming your way a lot easier.
Right. It is like building up your muscles. The more you use your muscles, the bigger they get. The more problems you solve, the easier it gets. Right. We're actually coming up at the end of our time. So, Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway you want our listeners to have this week?
Faith, glass half full.
I think the big takeaway for me is, remember, no matter what happens, you've always got options in how you handle it. Step back, take a look at those options, and figure out what's going to work best for you. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase, or you can find us in the iTunes Store or the Apple Podcasts app. Remember, make this your best week ever, and make next week even better. See you then.